looking for help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Logan is in town. Logan and Bo are here, kind of in between ventures around the world. We spent the day yesterday at the great State Fair of Texas. And a little tip for you, those of you here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, today is the last day for this season. I understand from talking to our friends out there that they're setting attendance records once again. So a lot of good things to see and do out there. So if you haven't been out, take advantage of this last day. Have a few things to cover for you before we go to the phones, but won't be too long. So jump on here, 1-866-444-3478. This hour brought to you, as always, by Victor Pet Foods. They have a line of grain-free products, but all of their products that they make, everything in the plant, no wheat, no corn, no soy, no gluten. And that's a big deal for your pets. Also, no chemical preservatives in the place. Some people do a little of both. You know, this company does not do those two things to any of the products that they make, and that's a very, very big deal. VictorDogFood.com is where to go to get more information. VictorDogFood.com. Also, go to their Facebook page. A lot of good photographs in both spots. A lot of good-looking dogs that have been on the Munster product, and you'll see how well they are doing. My tea this morning, I'm kind of stuck in a rut a little bit with orange peel and some of the other herbs from my garden, peppermint, fennel, things like that. I just throw a few things in every time, but the base being the organic orange peel and a few hibiscus petals. I was noticing the garden yesterday, and it was probably due to the cool weather and also the shade. We have some hibiscus blooming in fairly shady places. They get a little bit of sun during the day, and I've been kind of fascinated about how well they have bloomed. Judy likes to pick flowers and bring them inside. You know, the hibiscus flowers only last one day. And they're good in salads, also good in, you know, as garnish, also good in the tea. Just use the petals, not the whole flower, if you go that way. I was telling some of the guys yesterday we were planting some dianthus, replacing some of the begonias that were getting to look a little weak and needed some cool season things for going forward. And I was telling the fellas planting the plants, helping me plant the plants, that the dianthus are edible flowers, as are all the pinks and the flowers in that same category. They're all edible, but you don't want to do it. You don't want to just buy them from a store, big box store or wherever, and take them home and start eating the plants, because chances are very good that they've been maintained with toxic sprays and so forth. So only after you get the plants up and growing real well under your organic program would I recommend eating the flowers. And there's a lot of cool season flowers that are edible. We were talking about that yesterday, too. Pansies, pinks, Johnny Jump Ups, the violas, calendulas, lots and lots of edible flowers. But, again, you need to be using an organic program if you're going to be using the flowers as edible. You can use them as decoration, things like that, of course, but in the teas, in the food, need to be organic. Why is that? Well, the toxic chemicals concentrate in the reproductive parts of the plant, and you just don't want to be fooling with that. It's not a good idea. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on, but there's some really bad news. Nationally, EPA approved 2,4-D and glyphosate combination. You know, we've talked about this in the past, and we'll go through that and talk about it a little bit more. But they've approved that combination product, Duo, to use on the crops, and we'll talk about why that's a bad idea. First thing I want to tell you about is something that we have for you, especially for the members, but the public has access to part of it as well. Judy and I took a little trip this week. We went to Arkansas, and something we've talked about on the show that I wanted to do, and so we did it this week. Had a road trip to Bentonville, Arkansas, to go to one of the best museums I've ever been to. It's called Crystal Bridges, and it's in Bentonville. It is just terrific. The architecture is great. The displays, the artwork in the place, American art, really, really cool, and I recommend it. It's from Dallas. It was a six-hour road trip. And it's really pretty. We did not catch the fall color. We were a little early for that. There were some, but not a whole lot. I think if you decide to do this trip I'm going to tell you about here, this week and next week, probably I'll start seeing some really pretty color up in the Ozark Mountains and around the Bentonville area. So we drove in on Monday and went out to Crystal Bridges, and it was raining. It was raining on us going up there, and we thought, well, this is going to be a messy trip. And got some pretty good photographs during the rain of Crystal Bridges. One of the most interesting things about it is that it's free and open to the public all the time. There's no entry cost at all. And that was set up by the people who funded the whole thing. And who is that? Well, that is the Sam Walton family. The Walton company funded this thing. And it is it's quite something. You can see the photographs on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/thedirtdoctor and put a kind of a smattering of shots of what we saw when we arrived. We were planning to go the next day, Tuesday, to really spend some time touring the place. And this is something you need to make a note of, and that is that the museum is closed on Tuesday. So we luckily got there early enough Monday, to take a tour, and we did what we call the Logan and Howard tour of the museum. We saw some of it in a fairly slow pace when we got there. And then we did the rest of it the way we've toured museums all over the world. Go fast, don't linger a whole lot. See if we see anything we want to spend more time on, we'll do it later or whatever. We ended up being able to get through the entire museum on Monday afternoon. And got to do something I've never done before, and maybe I've just been naive about this, but I've never attempted to do any photography in museums because they've always got all kinds of signs around that you're not supposed to do it. I got a little bit in some of the museums in Italy that I can't remember if we have that on the website for you yet or not. I'll check on that. But a lot of museums say no photography at all, so I've never tried to do any. Well, this one, I asked about it, and they said, yeah, it's fine as long as there's no flash. So I always have the flash off anyway. And with the overcast skies and the natural lighting in the museum, photography came out pretty well. And I took a lot of photography outside and inside the building. There's a little bit on Facebook, so you can check it out there, see what it looks like. And then what we did was Yoga Mike turned it into a slideshow video, all the inside shots. And so it's on dirtdoctor.com for the members. And it'll be there for a little while, giving them first shot at it, and then we'll move it to the public places on the website later on. But if you're not a member, you can join. It doesn't cost very much, and there's several benefits. Just click on the green button there on the left-hand side of the homepage of dirtdoctor.com and check out all the shots of Crystal Bridges in Bentonville, Arkansas. Now, that's not all we did. We went over the third day to Eureka Springs and toured around over there the whole day. It had beautiful, sunny, well, actually, I guess we went over there Tuesday. Beautiful, sunny weather and starting to see a little fall color, and took a picture of the architecture and went to some cool restaurants and things over there. And some of the views, got some good shots of Kudzu, which is taking over some of the area there around Bentonville. And also toured Downtown Bentonville, and there's a couple of things I'd recommend you do there. Well, first of all, the hotel we stayed in is also a museum. It's called the 21C. It was recommended by some of the listeners on the show. It's expensive, but great. It's a terrific hotel, and artwork everywhere that they change out. And I think that the Walton family's in on the financing of it, too. One thing you'll see in the slides of it, and you'll see one even on Facebook, one of the things in that hotel is that there are green penguins all over the place. They are plastic, and they're movable. They're about 5 feet tall. I'll tell you a little bit more about them and some of the other sites in Bentonville when I come back, and we'll go right to the phone. So jump on board here at 866-444-3478.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. And we got people holding, wanting to talk, so I'm going to get there real quick. But just finishing up on this, this hotel in Bentonville I was telling you about, it's really funny. Go to Facebook. You can see Judy sitting with one of these green penguins. And what's funny about it, they use them in a unique way. When you sit at the table in the restaurant at the hotel, 21C, again, is the name of it, they ask you if you want to be joined by one of the penguins. And so they move around. They sit at beside you at tables. You can see Judy hugging one on Facebook there. And then there's some up in the floors in the restaurant. I found one in the lobby, and I took it we were going home one night, and I took it into the elevator and took it to our room and left it outside our door. The next morning we get up and I go out in the hall and there's two at other people's doors. They've moved around during the night. It's just makes me laugh every time I think about these penguins. But anyway, the other thing in downtown Bentonville is the original Waltons. And then there's a soda fountain that's been redone on the corner. That's really cool. Like an old-timey one, and there's a store there that's selling toys that are all old-timey, too. And then behind that is a museum about Sam Walton and Waltons and the whole story and everything. And, no, I'm not here promoting Waltons or the Sams or anything like that, but I am promoting what they've done with some of their money up there that's pretty amazing. It's worth seeing. The Crystal Bridges Museum is just absolutely first class in every way. The architecture, the artwork, the ease of the way it works. And we didn't even get to see all of it. Part of the experience is seeing the grounds around the museum, and that's what we were going to do on Tuesday when it was closed. So don't go up on Tuesday. Work around that. And then the grounds is a lot of acreage with a sculpture out there that we haven't even seen yet. So we'll be going back to check all that out. And then if you look at our website, you'll also, Facebook, that is, you'll also see some sites from Eureka Springs that we took while we were there as well. So check it all out. Sam Walton was a fascinating character. He died young. He died at 74. And I was curious what he died of, and I looked it up this morning. He died of a rare blood cancer. And one of the things, you know, what Walmart has done is pretty incredible about making products available to people across the country at real good prices. The thing, obviously, that drives us crazy is, you know, the Scotts products and the Roundup and all that dominates the gardening part of those stores, which we'd rather not have happening. But in the museum, the display shows what was in the stores from the very beginning. It was one little store called Walton's right there in Bentonville to what it is today, a $50 billion company. And in the very first display of products in the museum, there's a Raid can in the shot. So it's something that's, you know, been part of their sales for a long time. Hope it wasn't part of what Mr. Sam had as a problem using that stuff too much himself. To the phones. And by the way, I didn't tell you one very important thing. One more quick thing, and then the phones. Chance, 4-year-old, 60-pound Shepherd Mix, the SPCA Dog of the Week, brought to you by Victor Dog Foods, Victor Pet Foods. From last week, bad news. Carl's still waiting for a home, so let's go to our website, check that out, or go to the SPCA in Dallas, just west of downtown Dallas, and see Carl. We need to find him a home. But before that, Buster was adopted, so help. Thanks for that help. Chance is this week, 60-pound Shepherd Mix, really a good-looking guy, looks like a brindle. Yeah, it is a brindle, says that. He's got on a silly Halloween costume, but he looks like a really good-looking dog. And it says he's a little shy at first. After a few seconds, he'll start bringing you toys. He's quite happy, just learning to trust people again. Really likes to play, running, tug-of-war. Don't let his big size fool you, though. He's very calm and likes to cuddle. Been microchipped, neutered, and all the age-appropriate vaccinations. So check out Chance. He's on our website. Go to the SPCA button and check him out. To the phones, and that number, when you hear somebody hang up, is 866-444-3478. Linda in Starville, listening on 660. Hey, Linda. Are you there, Linda?
I am. There. Hello, Howard. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's up?
I'm from Starville, a little community out here in East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have moved from North Texas, where bluebonnets were proficient. I haven't seen too many bluebonnets, and I was wondering if I should just not waste my money on getting the seeds from native seeds, will they grow here in East Texas?
Well, to tell you the truth, Linda, bluebonnets do like lousier soil than you have there. You may have already kind of figured that out. There are a lot of other wildflowers that you could probably have a little bit more luck with. You can grow bluebonnets there, but bluebonnets, as you know, are primarily in the alkaline soils, the black and white soils, the soils that really aren't balanced very well, you know, around Texas. Over in East Texas, in the acid sandy soils, you tend to see more things like clovers. You know, the red clover just is gorgeous over there, and a lot of other kinds of wildflowers. So you might try some, but look at our wildflower recommendations on our website and try some of the others as well. We can talk a little bit more about it if you want to hang on with me, and we'll visit when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, telephone number is 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore. The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Let's see if Linda has stayed with us. Linda, you still there?
I am.
Well, let's talk about some of the other choices maybe and do some... Spend a little bit of money on blue bonnets, but I don't think I would invest a whole lot. There's a lot of other wildflowers that would do better. And in that category, like I mentioned, crimson clover would be real high on the list on in those acid, sandy soils. Indian blankets will do very well. There's a prairie larkspur that will grow pretty much in any kind of soil. The regular larkspur... You've probably heard me in the past talk about it. I use it like a wildflower. I put out the seed right now. It's time to do it, just like planting any of the, Indian blanket or the paintbrush or the various kinds of wildflowers that we normally plant in the fall. That's exactly the same timing we use for larkspur. Indian blanket is one that's pretty aggressive, so be a little bit careful with that. There's a little wildflower that doesn't get talked about enough that's blue that you might want to look into also. It's called blue-eyed grass. It's a real pretty little grass that is covered in blue flowers at a time where there's not a whole lot of other things blooming, and it'll do well in your soil, too.
Okay. I have an area out behind our house that's kind of a slope that I would like to put some start my little wildflower garden on.
Okay. I think that'd be great. Look at one called Drummond Phlox, too. That's another one that I would try there. Don't buy a whole lot, spend a whole lot of money on it, but it would be a nice mix with those others that I mentioned.
Okay, well, I wrote it all down. My last question to you, Howard, is I'm getting ready to plant clover in my garden. I went ahead and pulled everything up out of my garden. I want to plant clover as a cover.
Okay.
So then at the end of winter, I guess, I till it under. Is that correct?
Well, you can do that, and there's a lot of different clovers. Some of the clovers that are used for cover crops are the arrowleaf clover and things like that that grow tall. The clover I use the most as a ground cover kind of a thing is called dwarf white clover, and it's sold under that name and some other kind of similar names. And it's very low growing. If you look at any of my plant books, I have photographs of it in there, and detailed explanation. It has white flowers. It's real low growing, and it's a beautiful ground cover. You can use it as a ground cover around the plant, or you could till it into the soil like is recommended with vetches and other crops. One of my friends from the past recommended for tomato growing, for example, was to plant hairy vetch right now. He planted it on the sides of the beds, and he let it continue to grow. He never tilled it in. He simply let it grow on the sides of the beds, planted the tomatoes in the center, you know, next spring, and just let the vetch keep growing to a height of 12 to 18 inches and bloom on the side surrounding the tomatoes, and he had tremendous tomato production using that technique. He used other organic amendments and fertilizers and things like that, but he really gave a lot of credit to the vetch growing beside the plants.
Well, good to know. I wrote all this down. Well, thank you, Howard. I appreciate it, and have a good day.
You too. Appreciate the call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and vetch is a pretty plant, too. Some people will warn you about it, that it can become a little bit too invasive, and that if you plant a whole bunch of it out where you have horses, it can be a risk to them. But in the vegetable garden, if it's managed properly, there's a lot of people that use it and have great success with it. Here's Richard in San Antonio. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Howard. I heard you mentioned yesterday on Bob Webster's show about using peroxide as a vegetable wash.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the complete story. Is it a mixture to water? You spray it on, you submerge it, or what's the best practice?
Well, the easiest thing to do would be to set up a quart of hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store and put one of those little spray nozzles on the top of it, you know, like a gun nozzle, and just spritz the produce, fruits and vegetables, with the hydrogen peroxide, you know, when you're starting to prepare the food. Now, the only warning, and I think we mentioned that when Bob and I were talking about it yesterday, hydrogen peroxide is a terrific tool, but it when exposed to air, it turns to water and oxygen pretty quickly, and you don't have the oxidizing bacteria killing properties. So as soon as it gets to the point where when you spray it, you don't see any fizzing and little white foaming from it, it's probably gone to the point of becoming water. It'll last for quite a while if you keep that spray nozzle on there and keep it tight and sealed. It'll last for, you know, several weeks. But just know that when it's not fizzing anymore, that's probably not doing you any good.
All right, another quick question. My wife's grandmother gave me a handful of chili patines, dried ones.
Uh-huh.
And my guess is I have to wait till spring to plant these. But usually I know they make their way through the digestive tract of some bird. Do they need to be scarified or prepared in any way before I plant them?
It hadn't been my experience on those. They pop up all over the place at my house. We have them growing wild out of cracks in concrete. So I think that you could take those now. I would crush the little fruit and expose the tiny little seed inside and go ahead and plant some now. You can grow them now in a warm place and then protect them during the winter and have some larger plants ready to go in the spring. Peppers are perennials. A lot of people don't realize that. And so, like with habaneros, by the way, my habaneros are just producing like crazy right now. I've got more than anybody could ever possibly eat. But the habanero is one of the peppers, for example, that you can grow in a pot and then protect it in a greenhouse-type situation in the winter and carry it through the winter and take it back outside in the next spring, and it'll look like a little tree. It's a real pretty plant, the habanero plant. Chili pekins and chili patines can be handled the same way.
Okay, thank you much.
Appreciate the call. Telephone number is 866-444-3478 to Duncanville and Ed's turn. Hey, Ed.
Good morning. Just want to take you off the speakerphone there.
Thank you, sir.
I had a question on composting. I accidentally had a compost pile by just forgetting to distribute the leaves, and they just kind of rotted, which, you know, hey. Yeah. And then the hardest part was getting rid of the plastic that I forgot to take them out of. I've used that up, and now I've built a real semi-compost out in the front with the leaves, coffee grounds, church flowers, things like that. And I'm going to move it, and I noticed that in the other one they had a lot of those, which you're saying from a show ago, that were the roots, you know, just little feeder roots. And I've noticed in the one in front that I'm going to move to the back, it also has a lot of those little feeder roots. And I'm going to move it to the back and then build another one. Should I destroy those or just build the new compost pile right on top of them?
I'm not following you on the feeder roots. What are you talking about? Are there some plants growing nearby?
Yeah,
are you seeing
trees? Built them there next to trees.
Okay, and so the tree roots have grown up into the compost pile?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they do that because they love the natural fertilizer they're getting
right
from that. It doesn't hurt the tree at all to move the compost pile somewhere else and cut those away, leave some shredded tree trimmings as a mulch on that area. That won't hurt the tree really at all. If you continue to leave it in the same spot, then the only negative there is that those tree roots will continue to grow and continue to thrive, and they will take some of the nutrients away from your compost and make it a little bit harder to maintain. So I'd probably move it to a new location and throw some shredded tree trimmings over the old place where there will be tree roots, but there won't be any weeds. You will have killed all the weeds in that area for sure.
Right. Oh, yeah, there's absolutely no weeds.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Next question. There's a boxwood fence line between my neighbor and myself that's 10, 15, 20 years old. And it's encroaching upon the driveway, so it scratches people's cars sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Is there the pruning program that you recommend? If I just take it down now, I would actually be cutting down into the limbs themselves, which would scratch the cars even worse. Is there a recommended way to keep the softer leaves on the outside Yeah, I mean, I've got time.
Well, there's two ways to go. One is to do what's called pick pruning, which means you find the longest limbs and you follow them down inside the plant, find where they're connected to another limb or to the trunk, mm-hmm. and you cut it off, pick prune it off at that point. So you reduce the size of the plant, and it continues to have a soft, natural feel. Now, boxwoods, like a lot of plants, it tends to have most of its foliage out there at the edge.
Right,
and that
right.
comes from being pruned over, you know, time. So this may or may not solve your problem. The other thing to do is to, well, there's two other things you can do. One is you just prune whenever you have to prune. If it's causing a problem, you just do it, and it'll leave some bare stems, and they may or may not, the leaves may or may not come back real quickly there. The best choice of all is to wait until late winter, just before the new buds are about to come forth and grow new foliage, and you prune heavily at that point so that the new foliage will feather out not too long after you've done the pruning. So you'll have nice, soft texture on the outside pretty quickly that way, not have the bare stems.
Now, do I do the pick pruning, or do I just get the shearer and just shear the heck out of them?
Well, you're just going to have to take a look and see. Try the pick pruning if you have time to do it and see if that works. If that doesn't take it back far enough, you may have to just, you know, be a little more brutal about it. And then the final thing that you might have to do is to take it out and plant something else there if this just becomes too big a problem.
Hmm. Okay.
But sure. The best way to handle the pruning for the plant, horticulturally, is to do it late winter, and then you'll get the new growth following that pretty quickly, and you won't have the bare branches, and it also doesn't seem to stress the plant quite as badly.
Yeah, because it's already shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about to get going, which it will do soon after you prune, so you need to time it pretty close to the time where the buds are going to be breaking.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call. And we've got wide open lines all of a sudden for you here. So jump on at 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydratein. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydratein. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydratein. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydratein is now available to you. Hydratein allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydratein or order directly from Hydratein.com. That's HYDRETAIN.com.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard back with you. And we got an open line if you want to jump on at 866-444-3478. If I can get my headphones on here. We're going to go now to Jonathan in Farmers Branch. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. What's up with you?
I'm building a trellis on the front of my house out of cedar for some jasmine, some star jasmine that we want to grow up through it. And I was wondering, what's the best thing to seal the cedar with?
Well,
to not hurt the plant.
I normally don't use sealers. I tell you, the only thing that I've used sealer on at our house, and if you've seen my stuff on the website and everything, we do a lot of different fences. When I use cedar, I just let it weather out to the gray color. We have a St. Francis. My wife's middle name is Francis, and so St. Francis is. Always had at least one inside the house and one outside, and the one outside's wooden, and it started deteriorating a little bit, and I had a friend that owned a small paint store not too far from us, and we were using one of the real common wood stains, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of it right now, but it's one that has been around for a long time and is very common product that's been used, and he said that the new owners had changed the formulation and it didn't work very well anymore. And what he recommended to me was just a stain. It was a good quality stain rather than a sealer.
Okay.
That would absorb into the wood better, and it made sense, and that's what I've been using ever since on that statue, that St. Francis, and it's holding up very well.
Okay.
I was curious when I saw your question coming up, and I just did a quick search, non-toxic sealers. There's a real funny little website. I don't know how little it is. It's called Seal It Green. And so you might check that out. I just told you everything I know about them, but they've got a lot of different products there, and it might be worth kind of going through. If you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you might want to ease, if you're in Dallas sometime, ease over to Gecko Hardware.
We've been there a few times.
Yeah, they specialize in non-toxic sealers and kind of things, and they definitely have some stains that might work really well for you.
Okay. Well, the jasmine has some long tendrils already shooting out. What would be the best way to weave them through the trellis once it's up?
Oh, you don't have to do too much. They'll take care of it themselves. If you just simply put the terminal growth into a crack going one direction, they'll wrap. You'll see that they go in a clockwise. Is it clockwise or counterclockwise? I think it's clockwise direction. But if you just put that point in a little bit different direction than it's growing, it'll try to grow back toward the direction that you found it in the first place. And
okay.
That kind of speeds up the process. But if you don't do anything, that plant will find a way to grow through there and cover up by itself.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much.
Good luck with your project.
Thanks.
Let's go to Joyce, Colorado Springs. Hello, Joyce.
Good morning. I called you a few weeks ago talking about transplanting some blue spruce, small blue spruce, mm-hmm. came up, and the landscaper didn't really want to do it until next spring. I talked to him about our conversation and my past experience, too, and he's going to do it this week. That I told you it's a mountaintop, and there's just granite.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, Shell, I don't think we can really do much bare root. I don't think so this time of the year up there. But shall I take some dry molasses up there to put into the holes that we put the small trees in?
I wouldn't put it into the hole, Joyce. I'd just spread it on the surface, after you're done.
Okay.
We really don't like much of anything going in the hole except the soil. Now, when you're digging a hole in solid granite, you obviously are going to have to bring some soil in and have some granite and some rock mixed with that backfill.
Okay.
But we don't like too much foreign material and organic matter, especially down in the hole. On the surface, it's wonderful. But down in the hole, you just create a pot in the ground, and it would decay in an anaerobic situation if it's below about 8 inches in the soil. And there's just a lot of different reasons that we don't want to bury things like molasses, sugars, organic fertilizers, compost, all that stuff down too deeply in the ground.
Well, I've heard you say that before, and I don't do it down here where I can control things a lot better. But up there, I didn't know what I needed to do for fertilization. Down here, I would soak them first, but up there, I don't want to. They're having freezing already. Not really intense freezing at all at night, but this mountaintop, when it isn't granite, then it is a mountaintop spring. In fact, I have to have a sump pump in the cellar in the house,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
there's constantly water there. And across this area, I have about half an acre, I guess, almost an acre. And I don't know what we're going to find on this other end. I wanted them in this place where the rock is, but he said he can't do that there, so I'll find some other spot. So just put some dry molasses on top. Anything else?
Well, I'd spread a thin layer of mulch. It can be fairly thick out on the outside edge of the hole that you dig, and that as the mulch nears the tree trunk, it gets thinner and thinner, because we don't want bark or any other kind of mulch up on the trunk of the tree any more than we want soil. We want that flare exposed.
Yeah, I want to be sure I'm up there when he does the transplanting, so I make sure the flare is not
yep.
too deep.
Stay
now
on top of him. Keep me posted and send us some pictures, okay?
And he's suggesting straw for mulch. Is that what you would suggest?
I'd like shredded tree trimmings better.